Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to DDP Today, a show that is a little about us, a lot about Disney and fun. For the whole family, my name is Joe, and I'm joined by three of my DDP brothers tonight. First, let's start with my DDP brother to the north, Mr. Dan Rossi. Dan, what's going on? How are you tonight, my brother?
Gentlemen, what's going on? I'm good. It's April 2nd. It is our oldest boy's birthday today. He is turning 21. I think for most of us, we would probably be all excited. We're, you know, going to go to the bars for the first time legally and go have some drinks and have a good time. Owen is just not that kid. I think his roommates did talk him into going to the casino up near Green Bay. So I think they're going to do that. And then they're going to buy him a couple of drinks. I think he'll at least indulge a little bit, but he's just not a drinker. This is not anything that he's super excited about, but it's his birthday, so happy birthday, Owen. So unfortunately, he's like 300 miles away, so we can't see him, but you know, we're celebrating in spirit with him.
Well, I don't think that would stop my next DDP brother from celebrating with his daughter, who just turned 21, Mr. Mike Stolfi. Mike, welcome to tonight's show. How are you tonight, my brother?
Yeah, happy birthday, Owen. I just went through this birthday thing a few weeks ago with Sarah turning 21. And unlike Owen, Sarah dragged us to every bar in College Town. So, we were out partying until 2 in the morning. I think we made some backdoor raves that we went to and some other stuff and some sorority parties and some college parties. And I got to relive my youth a couple of weeks ago when my daughter turned 21. So she is the absolute polar opposite of Owen. So, Dan, you can share my experience. I can talk offline about what that was about, but it was good. It was good. I'm glad Owen's having a good birthday. I literally just ran in from work. It was one of those long, long, hectic days, and I'm happy to be here tonight because now I have a little bit of normalcy in my night. So good to see you guys, and I'm excited to talk a little Disney tonight.
Yeah, Dan, somebody to let Owen know that it's cheaper to go drink at the bar than it is to go gambling in a casino. So just he may
find that out the hard way, so we'll see.
And last but certainly not least, my DDP brother to the south in Orange County, Mr. Dave Griffiths. Dave, welcome to the show tonight. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, it's a learning curve we all have to go through. Let him figure that out about casinos on his own. it's more of a contribution than it is actually. Just hand them your money. It's fine.
It's a donation. But
Exactly. So I'm good, my friend. I'm really good. I was telling somebody the other day about how beautiful the weather is in Florida right now. We're currently in that like 3 weeks where the rest of the country can be super jealous of us because it's just perfect weather. It's not too hot. And it's about to like turn into the face of the sun. And we know this. So very much taking it in and absorbing it and loving it right now. So yeah, life is good.
Yeah, man.
Happy birthday to Owen.
That's right. Happy birthday to Owen too. And this is that time, Dave, right, where we suffer through all those months in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
For like, this is like the sweet spot. Like I know,
Everybody complains when it like gets cold, like what Florida's version of cold is, cause they're not used to it. So yeah, they're either complaining cause it's cold, complaining cause it's hot. And we're right in that sweet spot right now.
Yeah, I had my family was up from South Florida for Easter this weekend up in Daytona Beach area, and I was sitting outside of the back of my townhouse, and I was actually just doing a little fishing with my dad, and it could not have been a more perfect day. Like we're sitting there, we threw the bobber out there, caught like four or five fish, and my dad was just happier than anything. He's like, "This is amazing," and I was just like, "It was just a great day." So I hope everybody had a great Easter holiday as well. If you all celebrated as well, it was a beautiful weekend here in Florida, like Dave said, and hopefully it was a a great weekend where you guys were at as well. As for tonight's topic, I'm kind of excited about it because when I put it out in the chat tonight, obviously Justin's not here. Justin's, I think he's in St. Thomas right now. It's a tough life that he's living aboard the ship.
I know, right?
But I was excited because Dave got all excited when I put this out there. So tonight it's going to be a little different, something that we've talked about doing for a while. And I kind of think with the evolution of AI, right? You know, everybody is, AI is like this new thing, right? Everybody is asking AI to do things and design things. I know as a golfer, AI are designing golf clubs, and you can ask AI questions about anything. It's all kinds of stuff AI does, right? Well, here at DDP today, we're not quite there yet with having AI as a co-host, but what we do have
would be awesome. Can we just replace Justin?
I guess we could, right? I have all the passwords.
Let's be honest. If we like created an algorithm to replace Justin, it would just be like random Simpsons quotes,
references,
and meandering stories that you're not really sure where they're going. And he does have some good ideas, though, occasionally. All right, fine. We'll keep him.
Well, we do have the passwords, so we could like lock him out, I guess.
Oh, he does. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, Dave, you got to make sure you get a few Simpsons references in. Just like the last
episode. I'm working on it. All right. Yeah. I'll put my thinking cap on.
So at DDP today, right? So we don't have AI yet, right? But we do have Google. So everybody's got Google, right? So what we're going to do is DDP asks Google is going to be tonight's topic. And what I kind of put out there in the thread to all the hosts here was to ask Google, you know, 2 to 3 questions about Disney World and see what Google says about it. What's the first thing in that results field that comes back to it? And some of the questions that come up, I know, are kind of random, like when you ask, like, you know, what about is this or what about that? And Dave, this is something before we kind of talked about, I'll start with you. We see this kind of with the celebrities do this a lot, right? Is this kind of something you've seen a lot?
Yeah, every so often one of those videos will pop up on a feed on some kind of social media where a celebrity reads a bunch of auto-inputted answers of what is most Googled about them. And then they got to answer them. So I'm actually interested to see, because let's be honest, we've all gone on Google and asked a question and seen the answer and been like, well, that's not right. So I am a little interested to see whether Google can get it right and whether the four hosts here have a collective knowledge base that is willing to challenge whether Google is correct. So we'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see what we have all come up with. We haven't really shared with each other what we've asked Google about. You know,
no, we might only have 5 questions total between us, and we've all Googled the same thing.
We might have. I mean, so I don't know. So let's start. I've been talking to Dave a little bit. Start with Mike first. Mike, I know you just got here from your journey to Soda City in South Carolina. So you did a quick Google search. What is the first one of your questions that you asked Google?
So I started typing it in. The first thing I said, what is Disney? And the first thing that came up is Club 33. So I don't know. Maybe they're trying to throw me a hint. I don't know. But the first thing that came up was, what is Disney Club 33?
So they're just
saying, what was the answer?
Oh, the answer was, well, of course, yeah. We all know what that is. And it says, frequently asked questions, what is Club 33? A private membership club, but a variety of tailored experiences for its members.
Okay.
It's pretty accurate, right?
I mean, it's not inaccurate. Yeah. I always love the answer that Disney has where they're like, we don't have a secret club. We have a club with a lot of secrets, but that's different. So that's always a fun way of answering that question.
All right. Dan, what do you got? What's first on your list of what you asked Google?
All right. So most of my questions are going to deal with best and worst because, you know, as a travel agent, a lot of people, you know, who go down to Disney for the first time or for the only time in their life that, you know, they like to look at the internet and try to figure out, like, you know, they don't know a lot about Disney. So they're figuring out, hey, what's the best this, what's the best that. So my first time is, what is the worst time of year to go to Disney World? And the answer, the problem with this is you could have a million different articles that are going to have a million different answers. So I just kind of chose the first one that showed up on Google. And the worst time here is showing is pretty much Christmas, New Year's, and any weeks before and after Easter. And then more specifically, basically any time that kids are out of school, which to me seems a little bit, I don't know, it seems a little bit weird because Disney is all about kids. So, I mean, again, there's going to be kids there no matter what time of year you go. And to say that the worst time of year to go is like at Christmas and New Year's, you're missing a lot of Disney magic if you don't go at those times. You know, I get it. Like, you know, and like, for example, like my wife's a teacher. The only times we can go are when those kids are out of school, because that's when she's out of work. So we can only go at Christmas. We can only go at New Year's, summer break, you know, spring break. So I guess the main thing about this is like, you know, yeah, the times that they're speaking of are basically the times that are going to be the most crowded. And I wouldn't necessarily shy anyone away from going to Disney World just because it's going to be crowded, because there's, you know, plenty to do at all the parks, at Springs, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, again, there's plenty to do at Disney World. I guess you just, as long as you plan accordingly and you kind of know what's going on, that really any time of year that works best for you is a good time to go to Disney World.
I wonder if the algorithm like kind of geared towards like crowds rather than the best or worst time for experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if it was geared
Based on
towards
that
it.
answer, I would assume that it's talking crowds. Yeah.
Sure.
So, what did it say was the best time?
The best time of year to go to Disney World. You caught me off guard here. Let me pull up the art
Sorry,
or
putting you
the
on the
article real
spot.
quick.
The best time is when the DDP hosts are in
The
town.
best time of year to go,
Right.
again, this article here said was fall. So basically between September and early November, because number one, the kids are back in school, the weather is pretty good. Obviously you know,
I
you
mean,
won't
it's
get
still
quite as
hot
much.
because it's
Right.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hurricane season. I know, like you would think that you would get, you know, a decent amount of rain at that time. But again, I get it. You have a lot of you have the food and wine festival. You have the Halloween party. If you go a little
There's a
later, you
lot
have the.
going on, yeah.
So, I mean, again,
Again.
it's a good time. But I think spring is a great time too, because the weather is usually pretty good. As long as you're not going right at spring break, if you go like just after that time, the weather's
Yeah.
pretty good. You got flower
Not
and
too bad.
garden. So.
I've always said that, like, no, you never get tested on the stuff that you learn during your first 2 weeks of the year of school. So come during that time when all the schools have gone back, then come to Disney World.
That's when Disney used to have the free dining and stuff like that.
Right?
So like everyone loved that. So they would always pull their kids out of school those first, you know, month of school so they can
And
get
there
free
was that
dining even.
magical time in January where it would, like, Where back in the day, if you went in January, you could throw a stone in the middle of Magic Kingdom and not hit anybody. But now they fill it with marathons and
Yep.
things like that. The marketing campaigns got involved, so we don't necessarily have those moments anymore.
It definitely worked, right, Dave? You know, heads in beds, right? You know,
Hey,
throw a
I
marathon
know.
out there and raise the prices, you know. So
Hey, DDP come for it. Why not?
exactly. So
Our
Dave,
Sorcerer's Running Group.
Dave, what do you got? What's your first one?
All right, I thought I'd jump into something big out of the gate, just drop a bomb and walk away from the rest of this episode. So with that in
Oh
mind,
boy.
I Googled which is better, Disney World or Disneyland?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Right at it.
Just out of the gate, like, why not? And watch these West Coast people blow up our Facebook page with this discussion. I try telling any of them out there that Disney World's better. I did find this interesting. This was from a travelandleisure.com website. And it seems like a fairly balanced answer as the first answer that came up. It says, for a longer trip complete with luxury accommodations and visits to multiple parks, Walt Disney World in Orlando might be your best bet. If you live on or near the West Coast and you're looking for a short getaway teeming with nostalgia, Disneyland is the way to go. I was like, wow, you're really trying to like please everybody with that answer.
That's a
Yeah.
balanced answer. I mean, that's a truthful answer.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Like, yeah, how to be Switzerland in the middle of a of a heated storm. So I'll put it to you guys, which one's better?
Going
I
West Coast.
don't. They're
I
different,
don't know if I can
man.
decide. Yeah, they're different. And
They are.
like,
They're different. Like I always my favorite thing was always to describe the reaction to the castle. Because that town square area looks so similar. And as you walk in underneath a train station and you come into that main square, and then you move a little bit to one side or the other, and you stare down the middle of Main Street, USA. There's this moment where if you grew up with Disneyland on the West Coast, you start low with your eyes looking straight for the castle, and then your neck slowly leans back as you go, oh wow, because the castle is just so much more giant looking in Disney World. Whereas if you start in Disney World and that's all you know, your first visit to Disneyland, you turn that corner, you're staring into a blue sky and you go, where it? And your head moves down and you go, oh, isn't it cute? Look at that. It's so cute.
I will tell you, my brother is going to Japan for 3 weeks this year. And I've started doing some research just to talk to him about, you know, Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. And I'm very intrigued by Tokyo Disneyland. Very intrigued. It just looks really nice. And I've always wanted to go to Japan, but that's something that's just on my bucket list one day. If I could pick another park outside the US, I would definitely go to Tokyo Disneyland. It just looks really cool how it's set like in a city, but it's, you're immersed at the same time. It's just, I don't know.
Right.
But
it's I've never been, but, and I've said it before on this show, and that is that everyone who has been says, oh my god, this is the best, like you can't compare them.
Yeah, so I mean, I've never heard a bad thing about Tokyo Disneyland, but we'll see. But like Mike said and like Dan said as well, you know, Disneyland, Disney World, they're different. It's like having a filet and a New York strip. I love steak. I love it all. So it's, you know, just a little bit different, you know.
Hey, Joe, did you have one that you Googled?
I did. So I went a little bit different. I kind of just let Google kind of bring up some questions, and I thought this one was very interesting. I asked Google, what is Disney World's electric bill? And it says, currently Disney's park costs over $10 billion a year to run and used over 1 billion kilowatts of electricity, resulting in a bill of over $100 million a year.
When are those numbers from? Do you?
These numbers are from, I think it was from like 2 years ago. I did not quote,
okay.
I did not quote the source on this one. This is one of the first ones that came up, but I thought it looked like a reputable website.
Yeah,
I should have had that.
Only because my understanding was that the input of that first wave of solar panel fields that they did, where they did a couple of smaller ones and that bigger one right there on the intersection with Epcot as you head in, I had heard, and I have no official basis to be able to quote this, but I had heard that it reduced the power bill by 11%.
That's a lot. That's definitely a lot.
And I mean, think about how much sun you get right there. Even on days when it's raining, it only rains for 8 to 12 minutes and then you're back in sunshine again. So
I just think it's absolutely crazy where it uses this is what this article said, 1 billion kilowatts of electricity. Just imagine everything that's running on property.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even either. So it's like the meter is spinning too fast. So
correct. The numbers are just constantly spinning. I get upset with my power bill sometimes. I'm like, we spent that much.
Especially you get like when Mike comes to town, you know, and he like hacks the
that's
AC.
True. Yeah.
I'm sure Mike's not the only one doing that on property. So
Disney actually raises the ticket prices each year just to keep up with Mike's contribution to their power bill.
Dan appreciates the cold. Hi.
It is very nice.
Mike, what do you got for your second one?
How many guests does Disney World get a day? And then the conclusion, Disney World is one of the most popular tourist destinations in the world, with an average of 20.86 million visitors each year and 57,000 daily guests at its Magic Kingdom alone. On a peak day during holiday season, Disney World can see up to 155,000 people pass through its gates.
That's a lot of people.
I feel like it would be more.
What was that last number?
Disney World can see up to 155,000 people pass through its gates during holiday season.
On a given day, yeah.
Yep. On a peak, day during holiday season.
New Year's, I think you get over that. New Year's, if you consider that Magic Kingdom maxes out somewhere in the vicinity of 55,000 to 60,000, and then Epcot can get well over that and not even blink. And then, I mean, 6 or 7 people go to Animal Kingdom. and Studios has the lowest capacity. It gets to about 35, 40,000 and it freaks out.
Freaks out. It's true.
It does. It just loses its mind. It just doesn't have the storage space to put people. So yeah, 35 to 40,000 in in Hollywood studios makes you feel like you can't breathe and you're like about to hyperventilate.
That's a great point, Dave, because Hollywood Studios is that one park where you feel like you, when it's like super crowded, there's nowhere to escape to. Like if you go to Magic Kingdom, you can kind of find your nooks and crannies to kind of get away. But I feel like in studios, it's like you got people on top of you everywhere. There's just
and
nowhere
it also
to go.
Magic Kingdom has the saturation of like the ride lines to hide people in. All Disney does is store you for a period of time in a given location and then allow you to move to the next place until you're stored again. Studios just doesn't have the storage facilities to keep everybody in places. That's all it is.
I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, hey, this is I've had this opinion for many years. That's all they do is move you from one place to the next. But yeah, so that's so if you do 60,000, 40,000, there's your 100, 100. Yeah, okay. I mean, New Year's Day. And when you're maxing out like every single park, nearly, you're probably closer to that 200,000. But yeah, it's a thing.
I guess it just feels like it'd be more, but I guess not. I mean, I guess if you think about it, Mike and Dan, I'm thinking of stadium capacities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 55. Well, it's like a sold out Yankee Stadium, right, Mike?
Citi Field was 37,000, and I think during the playoff series we hit around 41,000. You know, during the 2015. Citi Field, playoff run when we play in the Dodgers, the Cubs, and then the Kansas City Royals for the World Series. We were hit in the 40s, because we had standing room only and we packed them all in and the suites were all packed. So I think the largest attendance ever at Citi Field was 41, and that was during the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess that'd be pretty much a Hollywood Studios day on a bad day. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Dan, what do you got for your second one?
My second one, so I'm going to go, I looked up the best and the worst rides at Disney World. So the two articles that I found basically went through, I mean, they had a list, so I won't bore you with the whole list. So I'll go through basically a top five best and a top five worst. This is the top five best. I'll list them all out and then we can kind of discuss and see what we think briefly. There is a ride on here that is missing on this top five that I don't know who the heck wrote this, but we'll just go on. So number five on this list, just to be clear,
if you're not about to include Living with the Land We Riot, okay, go.
All right, there may be two rides missing in the top five. We have Kilimanjaro Safaris at number five. Number four, we have Expedition Everest. Number three, we have Rise of the Resistance at number three. Number two, Tower of Terror, number two. And number one, Flight of Passage. So,
what did you think was missing?
Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, Cosmic Rewind?
When was the list?
January of this year. Actually, Guardians,
didn't put Guardians.
Was number seven. So again, I guess it's all everyone has their own opinion. I mean, hey, I could get on board with Flight of Passage being in that top spot. I really could, because I really love that ride. But man, to not include Guardians in that is, I think, I mean, I get it. Maybe if that's not your thing, if you kind of get a little motion sick or whatever, and that ride doesn't work for you, I get it. So real quick, let's go to the worst rides. Number five, they have Peter Pan's Flight. Number four, Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Number three, It's a Small World. Two, Mission Space Orange. I do not disagree. And then Triceratops Spin is number one. But again, I think this worst list is
very
just
subjective.
What did the carousel ever do to anybody?
Exactly.
Seriously,
there's a lot of history with that carousel.
I know. What did the carousel? It's not bothering anybody.
Carousel is arguably the oldest attraction in Disney World because some of the horses on it were made up from other carousels from around the country. And there's believed to be one horse that was nearly 100 years old when it was built as the carousel that we now know it. So it means it's more than 150 years old.
How did Aladdin Magic Carpet not make that list?
I got beef with the carousel on that list. That's not right.
You know what? It's not even in the top 10. And, DDP family, do not come at me. Number seven was Journey into Imagination with Figment.
It's a bad
not
ride.
My list.
It's a bad ride. List. I love Figment. That's a bad ride.
Derek Pitts is about to lose his mind. You think that I was organizing a riot? Now you're on people's list. All right, they're coming for you.
This
agree
is
with
article.
Its placement, but all right, come at me.
But again, number 10 on this list, just to throw it out there, was Tower of Terror. I think, what did I say? Tower of Terror was number 2 on the other list. Is the best ride. So again, it's, you know, it's the internet. People are going to put,
it's,
you know,
Google.
Yeah,
the internet's not always right.
Never.
But somebody who is always right, I believe, is Dave. And Dave, what do you got for your
second
one?
Whoa. Dave, this is how I get it.
Yeah, I'm putting the pressure on you, Vance. What do you got for number 2?
I decided to, I was looking through a couple of these auto-generated questions that then come up in the spirit of the episode. And I wound up with the question of what will get you banned or kicked out of Disney?
Okay.
There were a couple of those very reputable, and I say that with heavy sarcasm, websites and podcasts that I'm not going to even do them the decency of clicking on their website to give them a click, because I'm passionately opposed to some of them. Anyway, just an opinion, of course, once again. So I did scroll past them, but I found, once again, thetravel.com as a website, which started listing off a whole bunch of them, including jumping out of rides, sneaking backstage, bugging cast members, particularly characters, and being inappropriate with them, dress coded addresses, even went into the fact that, yes, within the fine print of what you're allowed to do, if you have large inappropriate tattoos, that you can be asked to cover them up or be asked to leave as a result of them. I did like its discussion of costumes for people over the age of 14. GoPros and selfie sticks are not okay. So it was kind of like a bunch of things that you're not allowed to do, which then got to like things that you shouldn't. Don't go swimming unless it's an actual pool. We all remember what happened in the fountain in France last summer. Didn't they also get like their entire cheer group sent home, or soccer group sent home, or something?
Good yes, times. Cheer group. She was cheer group.
I said it at the time. Can you imagine working your butt off to get to a cheer competition like that, and then your parents ruin it for you? Sorry.
Now, didn't someone post that like this is a Canadian thing to do though? Like Canadians do that a lot.
I believe we had a discussion about that. That wasn't.
I think it's very European to do. Yeah.
It wasn't out of the ordinary for their culture to do that,
right? Which is weird, but okay.
But when in Rome, this is our Rome.
Well, you ever go to Washington Square Park and see all the people bathing in the fountains there? I mean, that's New
a
York.
Free for all, bro. It's
like, yeah, well, maybe they're New Yorkers.
We do this at home. But I will say this, Dave, right? You know, like you really have to, I personally think, and you said you were on the cast member side, like you really have to really screw up to get banned. Like Disney's pretty lenient with a lot of things. I still believe you see people do a lot of stupid things in the parks and they kind of like get away with it a little bit. I mean, you have to really pretty be dumb to get thrown out. I mean, it's really be egregious.
Correct. And quite often it's not backing down or continuing to do what you've been asked not to do.
I will say this, Dave, on a happier note, you know, getting away from that. I actually asked at Google, not about how to get locked up, but, you know, how to lock up your weight and calories on a trip. And I asked Google, what is Disney's most popular snack? And this answer was based kind of off Instagram hashtags. And this is from, I think, last year. And it said coming in at number one is the famed Dole Whip. The Dole Whip. Dole Whip was the number one hashtagged Disney snack. The number two most Instagram snack, believe it or not, this is something that I like, but Mike, you hate, I believe, is the blue milk, which now I've heard is
I like the blue milk.
I thought
blue
you were
milk
a
is
fan
good.
Of
green milk is terrible.
Well, I actually saw, I believe, TG Lee now, Dave, makes blue milk, I believe, you could buy in the store. I believe I saw that online
really?
Somewhere. Yes, I believe they actually make blue milk now. You could buy in the store.
Somebody reverse engineered.
I guess. I don't know. It's like the Schaffenhofer, right? It's like maybe just keep the blue milk for your days in the park, not be drinking it at home on your couch. The third was the Mickey pretzel was the third most hashtagged.
I can't believe blue milk is that high on that list and beat out like a Mickey bar. I disagree.
In this time frame, and I don't have the time frame, but it said the Dole Whip was 316,000 535 recorded Instagram posts. Blue Milk was 55,000. Mickey Pretzel was 30,000 hashtags. And then the following up was actually the other ones were Green Milk, Mickey Waffle, Disney Popcorn Bucket, Mickey Beignets, the Night Blossom, the Disney Churro, and the Mickey Premium Ice Cream Bar were rounded out the tops of the list. So it's so about last year.
I mean, you are talking more about like the hashtag.
Yeah. Most Instagrammed. I mean,
yeah, there's definitely an Instagrammable element of Blue Milk and some of those iconic things, and particularly Dole Whip.
Now, let me ask you guys
Dole
a question.
Just got that.
Do you guys actually hashtag or do you guys actually post your snacks online? Are you one of those? I think the only one I might do would be the Citrus Swirl because I know it has such a rival with the Dole Whip. You know, I maybe would also now post the Lapu Lapu since I'm kind of notorious for eating the fruit out of it. So I have a little bit of a reputation I have to uphold now. But do you guys have like, would you guys do this or?
I do. Well, obviously I do, you know, for Away With Me Travel, I always post like food pictures. However,
speaking of which, if you don't follow Away With Me Travel or Away With Me, Dan at Away With Me Travel on, is that TikTok?
Or Justin.
You can follow him too. but you should definitely follow Dan for his videos. He's very creative, much more so than any of us, I think. Anyway, keep going.
But at the fire department, I'm very well known for being a Disney lover. I do take a lot of flack for that. But, you know, as you know me, I have some pretty thick skin, so they're not really going to bother me. But so, yeah, I will post it just to spite them because they will see my Disney post and then they'll just be irritated that I'm at Disney once again. So I almost do it just to spite the fire department, you know, personnel that I work with. And then I do it for all my Away With Me Travel peeps as well.
So, Mike, are you somebody who likes to share your snacks with everybody or is that more of like your daughter's thing?
If they're trendy, because sometimes they have some new snacks to come out, I'll do that. I'm not going to do the usual stuff, but if I'm trying something new for the first time, or if it's something that's a limited time out there, or something that's hard to get, then I'll wind up doing the hashtags on those.
All right, Dave. So I want to ask you, when you were the VIP tour guide, what was the snack or what was the thing you saw people taking most pictures of? Was it the Dole Whip?
I mean, Dole Whip's got to be way up there on the list. I want to say the pretzel. There's something about like the Instagram ability of the pretzel. Like you're able to hold it like in your hand and actually hold it up and get like some cool depth on it. Yeah.
Any Mickey that shaped jumps out.
Any Mickey, 100%. Anything that's Mickey shaped is like I love a Mickey waffle. I have a Mickey waffle maker here at the house. It's like, it's not the same, but then being on property eating it, but. We have one more round. We'll go one more each. I'm going to start this round here to close it off. I have to ask this because I am Joe and I love resorts. I did ask Google, what is Disney World's most popular resort? And we all post Google reviews. And number one at 4.7 stars was Disney's Polynesian Resort. So I can't.
I thought it was about to be Saratoga Joe's Monument to the Sun.
I can't not tell a lie, Dave. Disney's Polynesian Resort was number one on the list. Believe it or not, Coronado Springs was number three on the list in results.
Really?
Return, yes. So at 4.6 stars. So I know
mean, I don't hate that.
No, I know you're definitely a big fan of Coronado. So, definitely not surprised by that. People love the Polynesian. It's a classic. It gives you your modern, you know, luxury Disney experience with that classic feel. So you can't go wrong. And it's a theme that everybody loves. We all come to Florida to be surrounded by palm trees and tropical things, you know, and the Polynesian delivers on all of those. So can't fault the Google on that one. So Mike, let's go to you. What's your last one?
My last one is, what's Disney World's biggest secret? And said the existence of the Utilidor as a system of tunnels underneath Magic Kingdom, perhaps the best known Disney World secret. Tunnels are key to keeping the park running and the magic alive. Ever wonder how you never spot a cast member in Adventureland with a costume from Fantasyland? And that's because of the Utilidors.
So awesome down there.
Here's the thing is that used to be a really big secret with the social media, the way it is nowadays, like everybody wants to post about it and talk about it. That used to be one of those things. You rewind 20 years ago, that was your go-to, I really know my stuff about Disney. Nowadays, you're like, okay, you follow that person as well. Just an observation. just the old man in me being like, social media has ruined this.
I'm sure, like,
get the, off my lawn.
I'm sure the cast members who work there, like, people really love this place. Stinks of garbage down here.
Actually, oh, it's, have you ever been to the back dock of a hotel?
I have.
Oh,
yeah. Garbage. That's what it smells like.
Does it really?
Yeah. But it, 100%.
But Dave, in all seriousness, though, like the photographs.
There's a rite of passage.
No, I'm saying, but like the photographs they have down in the utility doors, like, and I guess it's maybe they're put in certain areas because that's where some of the tours go. Super cool photos that are framed down there of like the construction of the Magic Kingdom and like just all the stuff from like the 70s, like when it was being built. It's 100% really cool.
Put there because it's the section that the guests get the chance.
Well, very well done on Disney.
The rest of it is just a concrete wall. It looks like the back loading dock of a hotel. It often smells like it as well. And there is a rite of passage that happens down there. You ready for this? It's called tunnel juice. I do not tell a lie. It is called tunnel juice. And the first time it drips on you from a pipe of unknown origin, you'd throw up in your mouth a little bit. You get over it, and you go on and do your job.
Jeez.
It's repulsive.
There's nothing there. That is, I can't think of any more magic than that right there. So,
that is not magical. That is not magical.
That's tunnel juice for you.
So, Dan, I don't know how you can follow up that up, but what's your last one on the list?
Well, after almost getting sick, I'm going to talk. What is the best Disney restaurant? What is the worst Disney restaurant? And again, this is completely subjective. I could have picked a bunch of different articles to try to figure out like which one I wanted to pick. I just picked the first one that popped up. The best Disney restaurant in this article was listed as Takumi Thai. That's a tough one just because, again, I think we had a bracket or we had a show where we were picking the best Disney table service restaurant. And
we've definitely done that and variations.
And this one, you know, again, this one made it a little ways, but it didn't make it so far because, again, I think the price tag on this one, number one, kids under 8 can't come here. And I think it, you know, starts at 150 or 250 a person. And we all know how cheap I am. So it's, you know, that's a tough one to swallow. Again, I know some of our listeners have posted some pictures from this restaurant and it looks great. But to call it the absolute best Disney restaurant, I think, is a little much. As far as the worst one, this one's going to surprise you. This particular article listed Cinderella's Royal Table as the worst Disney restaurant, which baffles me. I've never been there before just because I have boys, never really wanted to go there. But I've sent many people there many times over. The biggest complaint here is going to be the price. People, you know, will complain that it's an expensive experience. But you are getting, you know, what you get for it and you're eating inside the castle, I think is essentially what you're paying for.
Correct. That is what you're paying for. You're paying for the experience because I'll be honest, it's the highest price point in that park. And it is. See, here's the thing. At least with Takumi Thai or however you meant to say that, at least with that, you're paying a very high price point and the food quality is going to be somewhere up in the upper section of Epcot its offerings. All right. Even if you haven't been there, like you know that you're walking into an exclusive restaurant and assuming that you're into that type of food that they serve there, it's going to be a delectable culinary experience. Delectable culinary experience does not describe the food quality at Cinderella's Royal Table. Okay, like it is the highest price point in that park, and it is definitely not even in the top third of food quality across the dining options in that park. So,
and there's not a lot of great options in that park to begin with.
Correct, and it is definitely not up the top of it. So it's just an observation, but I do understand how they got to that argument. I don't necessarily think I agree with it in the way they've worded it, but interesting.
Yeah, and I think this person, you know, is the only thing I can think of is this person is not as familiar with Disney, but maybe not, but like, you know,
maybe they just had a really terrible experience. Yeah. As you said at the beginning, it's subjective.
Yeah, and again, because I've sent many people here and they enjoyed it. And I think, I guess if you know going in, what to expect, like the food here is okay, but you're paying because you're eating inside the castle, you're meeting you're meeting Cinderella, you're taking some pictures, you're getting an autograph. And I think part of the problem is, and I don't know how old this article is, unfortunately. I probably should have looked at that, but I know like during COVID, and this is actually from March of this year, during COVID, there were, restrictions. So like, you didn't get the full experience, but you still paid the full price. So a lot of people didn't like that factor, but a lot of that is all back now. And like I said, I haven't sent one family there, that said it was not, that regretted going there.
Well, let's not have a regret and forget Dave's last one. So Dave, close us out with your last one for the evening. What do you got?
If you're just looking for, there were way too many articles to go into on this, but I'm just going to open up a rabbit hole for you to go and explore. Because I typed in why is Disney World? And I stopped there and looked at options. And one of the ones that came up, it just read, why is Disney World so expensive?
Age-old question.
And there's an article that looked at recent trends in the economy and things like that, and there were another article that talked about, well, people keep being willing to pay it, so Disney keeps raising it. There were all sorts of fun discussion topics in there, but you can definitely get lost. So if you do have 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to recommend that as a Google search and just go and die a little inside. It's fine. But so I that made me smile. We all know that, yes, Disney. I mean, Dan, when you're chatting with your and they're giving you grief at the firehouse, I feel like they must be like, why do you waste all your money going there? Like, that's got to be one of those. And we see it time and time again with people that talk about where, and there's the posts on social media of, my friends ask me how I can afford to go to Disney World, and I tell them I'm just financially irresponsible.
Exactly.
it's such a good meme. But yeah, no, we know it's expensive. Like, it's part of what they do. So, but it's a large investment for the experience. But yeah, definitely. A rabbit hole well worth disappearing down if ever you have the time.
The Google's been great. I chose to call it the Google. I just refer to it on other podcasts
On the
before
interwebs?
on the interwebs. It's a great tool to find out, if you want to know certain stuff about Disney, and sometimes it's not that reliable. But what I can tell you is reliable is our DDP Facebook page has some amazing pictures. We have some great people that post some great pics. It brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the week. Picks of the week. It's time for us to get our picks of the week.
All right, guys, my favorite thing every week, it's picks of the week. And we have some great picks this week. And Joe, why don't you start me off? What's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week goes to Lindsay Nicole, and she posts on our DDP Today Facebook page. She writes, if you've never gotten to see the Easter eggs at the Grand Floridian, you definitely need to. We ate at the Grand Floridian Cafe for the first time. Great for gluten allergies, by the way, which I guess is good for our family to know. And then walked around the lobby to see the eggs. So first of all, Grand Floridian Cafe, definitely a sleeper place. I think it's very underrated. Great place to go to. And the Grand Floridian always does a great job over at Easter holiday with doing these like Easter egg things. So I think that's awesome that she kind of shared that with us. So if anybody is down there next year for Easter, kind of check these out. So thank you, Lindsay, for posting those. And for that, she gets my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. Dan, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is going to go to our friend Dana Frappier. She is down in Disney with the fam for spring break. And we just talked about taking pictures of food, more specifically Mickey-shaped food. And she posted a picture. I highly recommend the chicken stuffed waffles at Rick's Sports Bar and Grill over at Coronado. The chicken tender stuffed inside of a Mickey waffle served on a stick for dipping in the syrup. It looks really good. I didn't know that was there. We talked about Rick's before. Like, Rick's is underrated. Some of the food there is really good. And I definitely think my next trip to Coronado, I'll have to give this a try. I don't know if this is like on the breakfast menu or if this is just on like an appetizer or like a just a regular meal, but I'm game.
Very cool. Great pick. I'm tired of going last, so I'm going to jump in now and I'm going to take my pick. My pick is going to go to a family that I absolutely love and near and dear to our hearts and our Disney dad family, and that is the Henderson family. And Michael Henderson got to put a post, and since Gavin got a new Lego set for his Easter basket, and if you push the button on the back of the camera, it shows Steamboat Willie on the movie screen. Super cool. You know how much I love Steamboat Willie? That's a tattoo on my leg. I love Steamboat Willie. Love the Henderson family, and you guys have my pick of the week.
Very nice.
Dave, what you got for me?
Yeah, I was going to say, if everybody else has gone, I'll go last. And I wanted to give a shout out. I went across to a different one of our pages on Facebook. I'm on the Disney Drinks with the DDP Today podcast. It's a drinking group, and a shout out to the mayor of the drinking group, Derek, once again. However, my picture is going to be my pick of the week nomination. This one is our good friend Craig McFarland with a very simple picture, a drink sitting on a rail, and the drink is in focus, and in out of focus in the background is the Ferris wheel and the Incredicoaster of Disney's California Adventure. A great pick with an iconic background. I believe Justin would insert the word weenie at this point. So, but just a really, really great pick with the sun shining through, and we hope Craig is having a great time there. However, while I have the microphone for a moment, I did want to give one other quick update and shout out. And that is a story that we shared months ago when this story started, and wanted to just give a huge acknowledgement to an incredible young man, our friend Abraham Cook. Bram has had some medical challenges and been battling cancer. And we've been following his story, so many of us that are connected to the Cook family. And just the other day, Bram got the opportunity to bang a gong and acknowledge his completion of his treatment and kicking cancer's butt. I just wanted to say congrats. We love the Cook family, and we've been right there with you the whole way, Bram, and we're really proud of everything that you've done. So thank you so much for being part of our family and for letting us in on that journey. Thank you to the Cook family in general, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah, those are definitely awesome. Mike, those are definitely four great picks, and obviously a shout out to Bram. I mean, he's a little hero, man. He's, you know, I couldn't imagine.
He's a fighter.
He's a fighter. Okay. And it's even the family, you know what I'm saying? Like Ashley and her husband and, you know, and her daughter, like just you go through it as a family, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just like him as like the patient. So like everybody around them, just like, well done, you know, and thank you for sharing their journey. You know, we love to see him getting better and kicking cancer's butt. And I just think it's awesome. So great one, Dave, on that, and great picks for everybody this week. So, and if you haven't already joined our Facebook pages, you know, and you're a part of our family, and you want to share your, not only your memories from your Disney trips, but also even just like from like your running or your daily lives, join our Facebook pages, our DDP Today podcast Facebook page. If you're into the running scene, you want to learn more about Run Disney races, we have Marathon Weekend coming up soon for registration. I know our DDP Sourcers running page is very active with that. I think we have less than or about 2 weeks until registration day, or D-Day, as it's going to be, when everybody's going to be trying to get into Dopey or the marathon or the half. So go over there, register for that. And if you're into, you know, the little libations at the end of the night, our DDP drinking tea or drinking page over there, that's always a lot of fun. And our Patreon page as well, for all of our Patreon supporters. We have our Patreon page for them over there as well. So as Justin would say, you know, go over there, join those pages, share your, you know, your Disney journeys and your Disney vacations with us. We love to definitely see those. So great show tonight, guys. I think it was a lot of fun. It was kind of fun to ask Google what we think about, or what they Google thinks about Disney, you know, and kind of compared to what we know about Disney. So I had a fun show tonight. I guys appreciate you sharing your thoughts. So for some closing words, I'll start with you, Dan.
No, this is a great show. I like looking these things up, because again, I like debating these things, especially if you're talking what's the best this or the worst that. Again, everyone has their own opinion. I definitely wouldn't rely on that completely. Definitely, you know, talk to a Disney veteran if you have questions, because there's plenty of us out there. But yeah, it's always fun to just kind of see what Google comes up with. So this was a fun one.
Dave, closing thoughts.
I'll double onto what Dan just said, because here's the thing is we there's always something to learn. There's always something more to know. It's impossible to know it all. And we get a lot of people that listen to this who are that designated person within their social group of being the Disney person that their friends turn to when they need that advice. And to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. There's always that moment where somebody comes to you and says, oh, what's the best thing to do here? And we all have opinions. And it's important to weigh those opinions and make sure that you're using that information that you have as the designated Disney person in your social group as a power for good. So make sure you lead people in the right direction and don't click on stupid websites and clickbait Disney-based BS.
Mike, close it out.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
No, I had a great time talking about it. I had a lot of fun. Like I said, rough day at work, so it was nice to come home and kind of relax with you guys, talk a little Disney, kind of relax, and chill. I'm really looking forward to Patreon tonight. You know, we were talking about some stuff during this episode, and I got some ideas from other Patreon topics coming up in the future, too. So just from some of the stuff we talked about tonight, some of the AI questions we asked. So some good topics there, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, Patreon should be fun tonight, guys. A little teaser. Currently, I think it's a Powerball. It's now over $1 billion, I believe, right?
Not that enough, would solve some problems.
Yeah, not enough to pay the electric bill in Disney, but you know, definitely make for a great Disney vacation. So a little teaser for our Patreon members. What would you do, or how epic of a Disney trip would you have if you won the $1 billion Powerball? So Patreon, stand by. You guys are on deck. We'll have that show for you just in a little bit. But on behalf of Mike, Dave, Dan, and Justin, who is in St. Thomas enjoying this cruise, my name is Joe. We hope you guys enjoyed tonight's DDP show. And until next time, we will see you real soon. Have a good night, guys.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder